Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Nun Aleph, and we're holding the second line from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins, Ahu Yosem V'yesoyma De'osa L'kami De'rova. Now let's remember, Rabbi Yisai, back on Nun Amid Beis, we had a very heated discussion with regard to the rights of the Bonois to get Mezoinois after the father passes away. And we know that there is a special clause in the Ksuba, which is known as Ksuda's Bonin Nukvan, that if and when Cholila, the father, passes away, he will allow the Mezoinis, he will allow that his estate pay for the Mezoinis of his daughters. So now we discussed yesterday at some length whether or not that is only against Karka, or even if the father left over Metaltalin. So if you remember at the top of the Amud, the Gemara said, on the top line, Nun Amud Beis, Yosef Rav Yosef, Kamed Rav Amnun, Rav Yosef Rav Amnun, Vekomar, Kishem Shein Abonim Yorshin, Elamin HaKarka, Kach In Abonis Nizoynis, Elamin HaKarka, only Min HaKarka, and not from Metaltalin. Later on, the Gemara told us that they made various takonois that one should go and do it even from Metaltalin as well. That was the Gemara further down. If you go almost halfway down the Amud, the Gemara brought the Amud of Yitzhak Bar Yosef Ba'aliyah Hiskinu Shubonis Nezoinis Men HaMetaltalin, not only from Karka, even from Metaltalin. And in fact, some of the great Amiroim, they, Paskin, were going to go and give Mezoinis Men HaMetaltalin. And then you'll remember that Rav Nachman got quite heated and said, no, what you did is wrong. And Rav Nachman said, Zilu Ahadru, you better go and give the money back. Give back the metaltalin. Otherwise, I'm going to go foreclose on your homes. We're going to sell them and give money back to the estate or to the yorshim. And so on and so forth. So there was a fairly lengthy discussion, yes or no. And therefore, the Gemara is continuing to discuss that further. Second line from the top. Nun Aleph Amin Aleph Ahu Yosem V'yesoyim Ad'os L'kami D'rova. There was a Yosem Yisrael, but Rashi says they were brother and sister, and their nechosim were being held by an apotropos. Z'omulu Rava, helu liyosem b'shvil Yisrael. The Yosem certainly can go and get from Sai Karkois, Sai Metaltalin, because after all, he is the Yoresh, and whatever the father left over in his estate, the Yosem will receive. Now, it appears from our Gemara that the apotropos only had his hands on Metaltalin and not on Karka. So Rava told the apotropos, you know what? Not only give for the Yosoim whatever he needs to eat from the Metaltalin, but you know, add to it another 50% or 100% or whatever, Bishvil Yosoima. In other words, give the Yosoim a very generous amount of Metaltalin, and with that we'll be able to support not only the Yosoim, but also his sister, the Yosoima. So although she is not allowed to get directly from Metaltalin, but this way we'll be able to go and feed her as well. Didn't you yourself, Rava Paskin, mimakarkoi v'loi mimetaltali? You can only collect from Karkois, and not from Metaltalin. Bein lemezoini, sai from mezoinis of the bonois, sai leksuba, Sai Leparnosa. What do all these terms mean? That not only we're talking about mezoinos, but also to go and clothing, to go and give a parnosa, meaning not everything and anything regarding bonois, it has to be mekarki and not from metaltali. Yet you, Rova, are allowing the apotropos to give more for the asoima, for mezoinos from metaltali. What happens if this Yosoim cannot go and manage on his own? He needs a household ozeret, someone who's going to go and take care of the laundry and the cooking and the housekeeping and all the rest. If he needed a shimcha, wouldn't we go and give, wouldn't we instruct the apotropos, hand over more money, more metaltalin to the Yosoim, to be able to take care of household needs? Koshkin haga di ikatarti. Certainly over here, where we have both, when we have both, that this Yesoima could help out in the cooking and in the laundry and in the housekeeping on behalf of her brother. So therefore we have both malas. The mala that she's going to help out the Yosoim, and therefore certainly the apotropos would be authorized to go and pay a shivcha to go and be mishamish. So Yesoim is nothing less, nothing worse. She's also going to go and help out at home. And of course we have the title, the second thing, that it's his sister, and she's a Yesoima. So therefore, we've covered all the bases, says Rava, and this is a great idea that we're going to go and give her from a talklin, even though normally not, but here is a special situation. Tanarban, we have now a braisa, where this issue of whether or not you can go and support the bonois for mizoinois from a talklin is in fact the machlokes between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Elozer. And says the braisa, which of course means karka, which of course means metalklin. You're allowed to go and squeeze those nechosim after the husband and after the father passes away, to go and take out for food, for the isha, meaning for the wife, the widow, for the bonis, and for the daughters, to be Rabbi. So it's very clear that Rebbe holds that you can go and access mitaltlin for mezoinois habonois. No question. Reb Shimon Elazar, as we'll see, respectfully disagrees. And Reb Shimon Elazar divides up his view in this braisa between the chosim she'en lachrayas and the chosim she'en lemachrayas. And he starts off. Reb Shimon Elazar, oyim in the chosim she'esh lachrayas, which of course means karka. Moitzian. Lebonois min habonim. What does that mean? We're talking about karka. So if the bonim are the yorshim, and the bonois need to eat, we're moitzi, we go and force the bonim to go and shear their karka for purposes of mizoinois for the bonois. So that's a double portion. Everybody agrees. That's the tanai of Bonan Nukvan, that they can go and access karka for their mezayis. And furthermore, says Reb Shimon Elazar, ula bonois min habonois, ula bonim min habonim. Now this is related, but it's not the same issue. Rather, it's talking about in the case of bonois min habonois that the father who passed away left over only girls and no boys, and therefore all the girls, like the bonois slavchad, are going to yarshin the entire estate. However, there are some older girls and some younger girls. And the older girls have taken over because they are older. And now we can go and force the older girls to go and share the estate with the younger girls. Because after all, just because you're older doesn't mean that you can go and put the money in your pockets. So therefore, he would go and enforce bonis min habonis. And same thing with bonim min habonim. What happens if there happen to be a lot of boys, and some of them are older, some of them are younger, and the older boys have taken over the estate, we force the older boys to go and share alike with their younger brothers. What happens if there's a very large estate? The bonois, of course, say, well, we get first in terms of our mizoinois, and they latched on to the estate. However, Baruch Hashem, it's nechosim merubin. There's plenty of money to go around. So therefore, we say to the bonois, bonois, you're the guys that are not in charge. It's your brothers that are in charge. So therefore, we give to the bonim, mina bonis, we take away from the bonis, for the bonim, since they are the real yorshim. Avalo, the bonim, mina bonis, mina chosim uat. However, if it's a very meager estate, there's just enough to go and cover the mezoinois for the bonis, then we don't give anything to the bonim, because we say that unfortunately there's not enough to go around, and the bonis have a right to get paid first for their mezayis. Now all of this had to do with nechosim sheyesh lehen achrayis. However, what about nechosim sheyein lehen achrayis? Meaning metaltlin. So what does it say? Moitzien lebonim min habonim. If there happens to be a lot of boys, and the older boys took over the metaltlin, and the younger boys say, we also want to share, then of course they have to share. They have no choice. They all yarshin alike. Same thing lebonis min habonis, if they're only girls. Like benois slavchad, they have to go and give the younger sisters as well. If there are bonois that took over a large estate, like we had before, Then we go and give from the banos. We make sure to go and allocate the majority, the large part of this estate to the banim, because they're the rightful yarshim. Avaloi lebanos ben abanim. But don't give to the banos from the banim if the only thing that there is in the estate is metaltlin, or even if there's karka and metaltlin. However, from the metaltlin, you don't take from the banim to give to the banos, because the banos, their rights in the ksuba, the ksuba's banim, nukvan, is only from karka and not from metaltlin. Like Rava said above, that Rava said, mekarki v'lim metaltli, bein lemezoini, etc. Aha, so now we have fair and square a machloikis between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Elazar. Rebbe said at the beginning of this braisa that both karka and metaltlin might see in the mozin ishvel abanois. And here we're saying, says Reb Shimon ben Elazar, no, nechoshen in lechrayis, you do not go and take off lebanois min habanim. So now we have machloikis. So how do we paskin? So avagav the kaimel an aloch Rebbe mechaveroi. Normally we paskin like Rebbe, and therefore Rebbe says you can go and even access not only the karka but also the metaltlin lemozainu isha v'habanois. But here halcha aloch Reb Shimon Elazar. How do I know? The Amar Rava. Rava, as you know, was among the last of the Amiroim. He paskin hilchas gemar kakoi. Only karka. So, if you have girls that are yesomos, they lost their father, and they need mezoinos, if the father left over karka, yes, they can access the karka for the mezoinos. If he only left over metalklin, they cannot go and access the metalklin for their mezoinos. And that's the final word in the Gemara. Now,
not like we had earlier, right? We had a machlokas of the Dumer Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef.
Exactly. Yesterday's Gemara, that was the Aliyah, where Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said, "Banos and Izoynes mina metalklin." And as you notice, Rabbi holds exactly that way. Rabbi said, "Ech nechoshi sheish menachrais, ben nechoshi shein lemachrais, meitzin lemozvan isha labanos." Exactly like the Aliyah of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. However, as you see, the weight of the authority in the Gemara, unfortunately, was not that way, and therefore, the halacha, according to the Gemara, is from the karka and not from the metaltlin. Now, that is not the final word vis-a-vis today, because Tosis tells us, if you look at the Tosis, which is parallel to our Gemara, that's the second Tosis, Mekakoy V'leim Metaltli, if you go to the last four or five lines, you see, Mitkanes ha-ge'oinim u-mezoinois. Mitkanes ha-ge'oinim u-parnos ha-nami anansadi shekol b'nei odem regilin lo-hasi b'noiseyem im-metalkli v'choshev kimoi b'amidna de-posik rova ki-reb Yehuda. What is the Gemara telling us? That the Gemara is saying is, I'm sorry, I should have gone two lines earlier. Start again. V'nira, six lines from the bottom. V'nira de-bizman hazeh, today, says Tosis. De-kulu govim im-metalkli that mitakonis agoinim one can go and access metalton for ksuva and mizoinois upanasanami and ansadish kobani on the rekim lazi when he's saying metalkli, etc. What Tois is telling us is that today we do allow mitakonis agoinim to go and access mizoinois from metalton, and based on the Gemara too, says Toysis, it's not just a question of the Mizoinus, but also the Parnasa, Parnasa meaning the dowry, also you can collect from Metaltlin. The Toysis leaves unsaid what the reason for that is, but I believe the historians explain that the reason for the Konas HaGoinim is because through the times of the Mishnah and the Amiroim, Jews supported themselves on real estate. That was their Parnasa. Everybody had not only their house, they also had a field or two or three, and therefore with that they supported themselves, and if they had enough produce, they sold it in the market, and then they had more money. However, in later years, people, number one because of pogroms, number two because Jews were fleeing from place to place, often they did not have access to real estate. Many people just had to go and make do on parnasa on whatever, selling metaltlin, buying, selling, lending, what have you, and therefore they didn't have real estate to go and put into their ksubas. Most people today also, I wouldn't say most, but many, many, many Jews, perhaps the majority of Jews, perhaps the majority of from Jews, don't own real estate. So, what do they have? They have, Baruch Hashem, other parnassos, other professions. So therefore, based on that, when you want to marry off your children, you don't think automatically, let me liquidate one or two pieces of real estate. You hopefully have enough money in the bank, or stocks, or other investments, whatever, that you can use for paying bezoinus and for dowries and all the rest. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Zok to Mishnah. What our Mishnah tells us is a very, very simple halacha. And that is, although, yes, everybody has to write out a ksuba before they get married, what happens if there was no ksuba? Don't think you're off the hook. You're mechuyev in all the tanoi ksuba, even if you don't write a ksuba. Because these are all considered to be tanoi bezdin. The bezdin tells you, you have to do this, that, and the other thing, whether you like it or not, whether you wrote out a ksuba or not. Yes, you are supposed to write out a ksuba, but even if, says the Mishnah, loy kosev lo ksuba, you didn't write out a ksuba. Psula goyvem masayim. V'almona mona. That's the law, whether you like it or not. Similarly, kosev lo soda shovem mona tachas masayim zuz. V'loy kosev lo kon lechosem de isli achroim li ksuva seich. Chayiv. Shutanai bezim. What does that mean? Typically, the ksubas would say that if and when, chas v'sholem, this marriage terminates, either because the husband passes away or because he gives a get, what happens in those circumstances? So then, she is allowed to go and get her ksuba, the 100 or the 200. What happens if he wrote in the ksuba that this particular field, which is worth 100, this should be the lien and the mortgage for your $200 chayf? Okay, and now chas v'sholem, years later, the husband passes away, he gives it a divorce, she wants to collect 200, they give her the soda, but the soda is only worth a mana. And she says, but I need to go and collect 200 and not 100. She's allowed to collect from other nechasim. But it didn't say in the ksuba that kol nechasim the isli achroyin, all my nechasim are achroyin, are there's a lien on them, the ksuba seich, it makes a difference. Chayv shu tanai bezin. And the Gemara L'Koyer is going to say that this goes according to the Man D'Yoma that holds achrayis to'us soifer, that even if it doesn't say achrayis beferish in a shtar, it's deemed to be automatic. We'll talk about this in the Gemara. And now we talk about the inyan of chas v'sholem and ma'isa of shvuya. Shvuya is if a lady was taken into captivity, rachman litzlan. Lo'ikosev lo im tishtaboy afer kinach vo'isvinach li li'insu. He didn't write in the ksuba that if chas v'sholem you are captured, I will ransom you and I will take you back as my wife. Ubekehenes hadrinach limdinos seich. By kehenes, he has to go and write her. In other words, an eishes koyin. I'm going to return you to your medina because unfortunately I cannot take you back as my wife because if you are even nansa, we know the halacha is that a kehenes is asura, an eishes koyin is asura even if she's nansa. Even though it didn't say any of all of these terms in the ksuba, chayiv, shu tanai bezdin. That's tanai bezdin. You gotta do it. And therefore says the Mishnah once again, nishbis chayiv leftoisa. Even if it doesn't say she was taken into captivity, you have to be poiter. However, v'yem'om marhari gita uksuvasa v'tivde es atzmo. What happens if you have a situation where, rachman l'tzlan, a woman was taken into captivity? The kidnappers are asking for a huge amount, $1 million. And this fellow can't afford $1 million. So he says, you know what? V'mom ahari gituk suvasa, here, I send her a get, he's going to send a shliach metaget, or he's going to give it to Bezdin, and be mezaka on her behalf. Can you mezaka get? Not so simple. Anyway, he says, here's the get, uksuvasa, and I send my wife all this money, for a ksuba, 100 or 200, the toises ksuba, now she has money in the bank. Let her be poiter herself. Eirusha, you cannot do that. You, the husband, it's incumbent upon you to go and ransom your wife. You can't say, here, I'll give her money, I'll give her a ksuba, let her take care of herself. You can't do that. On the other hand, what happens if loksa? Loksa means chas v'sholem, she came sick, rachman litzlam. Chagar apoisa, the husband has to go and pay all of her medical bills. Rashi says, refuah kim mezoinos. And that, you know, that's without the refuah, she can't live just like without mezoinos. However, Omar Hari Gituk Suvasa Terapi es Atzma Rishoi. Here, however, is different than the case of the Shvuya. Here he says, here's your get and here's your ksuba, and she's here, because after all, although she's sick, she's not anywhere else. So he says, here, take your get, here's your ksuba, you take care of your own medical bills, Rishoi, that is permissible. Now the question is, why is there in fact a different manishtana between one case and the other? So Rashi doesn't address this directly, but it sounds like from Rashi, let's see the Rashi, Einoi Rishoi, this is halfway down, if he says to his wife, here, I give you your ksuva, you be poidi yourself, says Rashi Shkvar Nischai, in the Rashi, Einoi Rishoi, it's halfway down the Rashi, Einoi Rishoi, Shkvar Nischai, Bepidyoina Mishanishbis, as soon as she was taken into captivity, that second, the chiyuv of being poidi her already was triggered, and therefore when they send their ransom note, or email, or text, or what have you, that they want $1 million, gizuntai, gizuntai, brother Shai, what's the din? Kim shechai b'piyoina. As soon as she was taking the captivity, the chova, the obligation to go and redeem her, already was triggered. He cannot get out of it. So what's the difference by refuah? By refuah, yes, as soon as she becomes sick, he also has to go and pay the medical bills. And what happens if he gets the diagnosis from the doctor that this is a long-term sickness? So he pays the medical bills that have accrued to date for the first week, for the first month. And after the first week or first month, the husband says, I can't afford it anymore. Then he can give her the get and the ksuba and say, my dear wife, from now on you take care of yourself. So even though the requirement to pay the medical bills was triggered at the first moment, just like the case of the shvuya, but by the shvuya, it's a one-time payment type of thing. So when he hears this huge amount, tough luck. You got to go and pay it. You can't go and divorce your wife and give the ksuba. But by the medical needs, every day is a new day. Yeah, I'll pay the medical bills today and through the week and through the month, but not forever. And therefore, he's allowed to go and sever the relationship and say, okay, from mikan l'haba, these are now your obligations. That seems to be the pshat in Rashi, and that's in fact the way some of the Rishonim interpret Rashi. Who are some of those Rishonim? It's the Rama and Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina and the Shita Mekubetzes and others that think that that's pshat in the Rashi. Tosis, however, learns a totally different pshat. Tosis is, if you will, a much more down-to-earth pshat. This Tosis is not here on Nun Aleph Amid Aleph. You have to turn to Nun Beis Amid Beis. Nun Beis Amid Beis. Just turn to Bletta. You'll see the top of the Amid Nun Beis Amid Beis. The top line, which is the second Tosis, which begins Omar Hare Gita. Notice there's a small little Samach before the Omar. And that Samach says that this Tosis really belongs on Nun Aleph Amid Aleph at the Mishnah. So what does Tosis say? Omar Yigitu Ksuvasa Terapi Atzma Rishoi. So Tosis. Lefisha Refua Hi Bechlal Mizoinois. Vahari Kibla Kinegin Masio Deho She'ad Achshav. Refua is a subset of Mizoinus. And Mizoinus and Masio Daim is a constant quid pro quo, give and take, every day of the week. Every day she accrues Masi Adayim and she hands those over to her husband. Whenever she gets her salary or she gets whatever payment, she hands it over to her husband. And on a daily basis is giving her the Mizoinus. And again, Mizoinus includes Refuah. So there's been a give and take ever since they got married. Aval, Ein Rishoy Loim at Kabbalah's Gift of Tiftas Atzma, Lefish Loikimbla Tashlam Mi Peter Sheochalat Achshav. We said a few days ago that peiros tachas pirkuna, that the reason why we allow him to get the peiros of the nechsim meluk is if chas v'sholom she gets into captivity, she's captured by pirates, and now the husband has to go and give ransom to free her. So he's never paid. He has been married to her for the last year, 5 years, 20 years. He's gotten over the period of time a huge amount of income peiros from the nechsim meluk. Now, for the first time, you have the duty, husband, to go and be Pyriker, to go and redeem her. So now he can say, you know what, here's your ksuva, here's your get, goodbye, you take care of yourself. He has received the payers over the last 5 or 10 years, he has to now use that income stream that he has accumulated to go and be paid to her, and he cannot say, here's your get, here's your ksuva, go home. Okay, So we have two explanations, the Rashi and the Tosis, and we go on to the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to ask what seems to be a contradiction or inconsistency between the Reisha and the Sefer. The Reisha, remember, said that if you didn't write out a Ksuba, it makes no difference. Come heaven or high water, the Psula gets 200, and the Almona gets 100, Mipnei Shehu Tanai Bezit. Now who holds this way? This is Remeir, and not like Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Remeir? Zukti Mora Mani Remeir, we're on the first wide line, Nun Aleph Omer Aleph. Mani Remeir Di Omar. Kol HaPoiches L'Psulam Imasayim Ulamona Mimona Harizu Be'ilas Nuz. Remeir takes a very hard line, and he says, you better give a Ksuba of 200 to a Psula, and in a Ksuba of 100 to Almona. If you don't, it's a Be'ilas Nuz. Meaning, there's no two ways about it. This is the minimum his chayvos. And our Mishnah therefore adds, even if you didn't write out the ksuba, even if it's an oral ksuba, it makes no difference. Tanai Bezin, you have to give the 200 and the 100. However, says he, Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Rabbi Yehuda allows for mechila. He allows for a waiver. What does that mean? Rotza koisel psula shtar shel masayim. I also agree that when you're writing out the ksuba, write it out for 200, which is, of course, the takana of Chazal. However, the hikoseves, she can give him on the spot a receipt and write his kabalti mimchamana, I already received my 100 of the 200. Now, this is not a fraud, says Rashi. What she is doing is she is being moichel. She's saying, I know the ksuba has to be 200. I've agreed with my 100, my husband, we negotiated. I'll only receive 100. So I already give him a receipt right now. He only has to give me 100. And the same thing's all amana mana. The hikoy sevis kabalti mimcha chamishim zuz. I waive the other 50. This is permissible. Now, from our Mishnah, it sounds like you can't do that. Because from our Mishnah, it sounds like even if he didn't write a ksuba, it's always 200 and it's always 100. And therefore, says the Gemara, l'choy ra Mishnah shtims like Remeir. And not like Rabbi Yehuda. Aim a sefer. Let's look at the sefer. Cause of lasoda shove money tachas masayim zuz. For like cause of la kol nechosim isli achrayim leksuva seich chayiv shu tanai bezdin. Even though it says nothing about achrayis, it's implicit, and therefore all of his nechosim, all of the karkois, have on them a shibud to pay the ksuba. That's a famous machloikis that typically all the shtoris had in them a one of the boilerplate provisions towards the end was that if and when you the lekeach, or in this case if and when you the isha, if there is no not enough money to pay off the choivos, or not enough money to go and pay off guarantees, or not enough money to go and pay or for ksuba, you have a chrayis, you have a shibud, you have a lien on all of the nechassim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it doesn't say this in the shtar, it's automatic, because the sefer just left it out. Well, according to Remeir, no, chrayis left out a sefer. If it was left out, this was negotiated. It's a negotiated term, and that's why it was left out. Now, where do we find this machlok? Is it not? Mav the shtar choiv. What happens if you walk down the street and you find the shtar choiv on the street? Now, what's the situation? Obviously, if the Malva says the Shtar Choy belongs to me, and I want to collect, and the Loiva says, no, it belongs to me, this is my receipt because I already paid, then of course you can't go and give it back willy-nilly until you know for sure who's right and who's wrong. But what happens, says our Gemara, says Rashi, that the Malva and the Loiva both agree. The Loiva says, a person goes into the smedish one day and he says, Rabbeisai, I found the shtar choif, that Reuven owes Shimon money. And Reuven and Shimon both run over to the motse, the person that found this shtar choif. And Reuven and Shimon both say that the money, this shtar choif, is still a legitimate, outstanding, bona fide obligation, because Shimon did not pay back the obligation. Shimon says, it's true, I didn't pay back. Reuven says, Shimon didn't pay me back, or Reuven owed the money to Shimon, etc., etc. The point is, both of them agree, so I would think, no, for sure, then give it back. Everybody agrees. If there's a chrayis, nechosim, and the shtar, don't give it back. You know why? Says Rashi, because maybe there is a knunya. Maybe there is this conspiracy between the malva and the loiva. Maybe the loiv already paid the malve, and therefore this shtar is a nullity. And that's why it was thrown in the garbage. And that's why you found it on the street. However, if it's a chayis nechosim, you would know what they might do. The malve and the loiv might make a conspiracy against lekuchais. And say, no, the loiv didn't pay, the loiv has no money. Malva, you can collect again from the lekuchais from Mishum Badim. So therefore, if there's a chayis nechosim liyachzir, don't return it. Shebezin nefroin mehem, because Bezin will enforce the terms of the shtar, and we might talk about a rip-off, potentially, of the lekuchais. However, amen chayis nechosim, there's no chayis nechosim, and both the malva and the loiva agree that you give it to the malva or to the loiva, then there's nothing to worry about. Shiachzir, shebezin nefroin mehem. They can't collect because there's no chayis nechosim. The Mishabodim have nothing to worry about Divrei Reb Meir. So what do we see clearly that Reb Meir holds? That Achrayis is not a Tohes Sofer. It's a negotiated term. If it says Achrayis, don't give it back. But if it doesn't say Achrayis, you can give it back. Because Ishtar is now worthless if both the Malvin agree, if the Malvin and the Loiva both agree to its status. The Chachamim Oimrim, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh L'Yachzir. What's his Barry?
Reb Meir should know because he was a Sofer.
Ah, okay, very good, Shkoyach. Barry reminds us that the mayor himself was a Sofer, so he knew the rules and regulations about Sofrim, and probably he didn't want to go and give Sofrim a bad name and say that it was a Torah Sofer. No. If the Sofer left it out, it's because he was told not to put it in. The Chumayimrim, the Chumim disagree. Echad zeh, v'yechad zeh, say yon achrayis, say nishtu achrayis, lo yachshu shebezin nefroin mehen. So clearly, what do the Chumim hold? That Achrayis is a Toyas Sofer, and therefore automatically don't give it back, because the Bezin will, if the Malvin Aloyva are doing a conspiracy, they want to rip off the Lekuchais, the Bezin will be Pareya, even if there is no Achrayis Nechosim, because Achrayis Nechosim is Toyas Sofer. Now, the Mishnah doesn't identify who these Chachamim are, but Rashi says, if you find Reb Meir and you have a nameless Chachamim, you can assume it was Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda was his bar plukta. He was, Rashi says, you see six lines from the top. Ubnei plukta d'rameir Rabbi Yehuda hava, v'hadayu shebedoy reihoya. If you're ever wondering, when you have an anonymous chachamim and Rameir, it's often the case that Rameir is the anonymous chacham. Right? Most mishnayis that don't have any machloikis, we say stam mishnah is Rameir. So that's the chacham. But if the Chacham that's arguing with Ramey and they're unidentified, you can assume it's Rabbi Yehuda, because he lived B'doy Rahaya, he was his peer, P-E-E-R, so you can assume it's Rabbi Yehuda. So Kum T'choy says the Gemara, the Reish of our Mishnah, which says that if it doesn't say 200 or 100, it's automatically implied, because that's Tanai Bezdin, B'choy, that's Ramey. The Ramey says, you can never give a dime less than 200 or 100, and if you do, you have to give the full amount. Or Rabbi Yehuda says, you give me Michael, and she can go and give a receipt, this Kabbalti. So the Mishnah goes according to a mayor. But the second case that says that if you wrote in the Ksuba that a particular piece of property is the mortgage for this Ksuba obligation, and it's not enough, it's only 100 vis-a-vis a Ksuba obligation of 200, then even though it doesn't say Achrayis, it's automatically all of the Nechosim have impressed upon them a lien. So the Chayyid, that goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Meir, said, no, these things are negotiated. It's not a Toya Sefer. Frank Gemara, Reish Rabbi Meir, say for Rabbi Yehuda. V'chitei, v'kul Rabbi Meir. Maybe the whole Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Meir. And Mishani, Rabbi Meir, ben Ksuba l'shtari. Maybe there's a difference between a Ksuba l'shtar. In a regular shtar, Rabbi Meir holds that Achrayis is negotiated. And therefore Achrayis love Toya Sefer. But maybe the Ksubi holds it, that's part of the Tanai Bezdin. So even if you left it out, it's automatically written in, it's implied, it's in parentheses, it's there, even if you don't see it. Is that true that Rameya distinguishes between a Ksubi and Shar Shtorois? Votanya, we have a Braisa. Chamisha Goyim Menachurorim. Five classes of people can only Goyim, can only collect. Menachurorim means from Bnei Choyrin, not from Mishuban. Bnei Choyrin means karka that is in the hands of the original obligor, and not a karka which has been sold, which now has a lien on it. Who are those five? The Elohim. Peiroitz is one. Shvach Peiroitz is two. Mekabel Olav Lozen is then Ishtoi Ubas Ishtoi is three. Ket Choyv Shein Boyachrayis is four. Uksuvas Ishi Shein Boyachrayis is five. We'll explain the first two in a moment. But what we see from this Bryce is that the Bryce equates the Get Choyv Shein Boyachrayis. Rashi says, although it says the fancy term Get Choyv, it really means a regular shtar, because a regular shtar is also called a get, like the first Mishnah Masechtas Gittin tells us. And therefore, get choyv shein boachrayis means a star, stam shtar that has no achrayis, and a ksuvas isha that has no achrayis. In both of those cases, says the Braisa, who do you collect from? You can't collect from the Mishubadim. You can only collect from Mechurorim, from the Bnei Choyrin. No man shamas legom achrayis lav to yisayfuhu. Who's the one that says, it's got to say achrayis? Because if it doesn't say achrayis, there is no achrayis, and therefore you cannot collect from Mishubadim, you can only collect from Mechurorim. Who's that? That's Remeir. Uktani Ksuvas Isha. It says Ksuvas Isha is exactly the same as a get choyv shein boyachrayis. So this Teirus L'choyra falls away. Now before we continue on, we didn't explain what are these five terms. We have five that are going to Mechurorim. The Peirush and Shvach Peirush. There's a long Rashi here, but Bikitsur, this is talking about a situation where someone stole a piece of property. Not a nice thing to do. He stole a piece of property. To compound his crime, he then sold the property to somebody else. Okay, and that other person knew nothing about it. He thought it's legitimate property, and he went and bought it. Subsequently, the nigzal, the person who's the real owner of the property, goes to court, gets a good lawyer. They go and sue the gazlin, and the gazlin, of course, says, I'm sorry, I have no money. All the money that I received when I sold the property, I already spent in Las Vegas. I lost every dime. Icha gunisht. Okay. So the nigzal then goes to the lekeach, to the purchaser of the property, and he proves, beyond a reasonable doubt, this is my property. He gets the property back. No question about it. It's his property. Now the nigzal says, one sec, not the nigzal. The purchaser says, it's taka true that I bought the property, but over and above that, I already went and I invested in this property. How did I invest in this property? Number one, I put fertilizer. Number two, we weeded the property. We planted the property. We plowed the property. I spent a lot of money on this property. And not only that, look at the trees on the property, or look at the tvur that's growing. All of that is my hard work and my hard effort. The peasant says, Mister, how much do you think this is worth? How much did you lose as a result of the property being taken away? Well, for the peiros, which are attached to the tree, or the tvur that's attached to the ground, I lost $10,000, because the nigzal took it away. And how much did you invest in the property in terms of your fertilizer, in terms of the plowing, the planting? Another $10,000. Oh, okay, so that's the first one. The peiros is talking about the actual tvur or peiros, which are attached to the ground, which the nigzal took away because it's his property. The shvach peiros is the amount that was invested to improve the property by putting in fertilizer and the rest. Now the nigzal, not the nigzal, the purchaser goes back to the seller, who is the gazlin, and he says, you got to pay that back to me because the nigzal took away the property. Give me back now the peiros and the shvach peiros. Peiros and shvach peiros he can only take from the gazlan's personal properties that still belong to the gazlan. If the gazlan had other property that was sold previously, the purchaser cannot go after those lekuchas. Why can't he go after those lekuchas from Mishubadim? Says Rashi, "Mnei tikkun oilam, the fish ain't tzuvin." Just like today, in the good old days, when people went and gave loans, or when people bought properties, they typically did a title search. And therefore, if a person is giving a loan, he sees, oh, this person has all of these fields. Even if he sells these fields, I have liens on all of these fields. Now, all of that, we can document exactly what the amount of all the outstanding loans and the value of the fields, all of that, one can determine. But if you're talking about peiros and shvach peiros, there's no way of knowing how much the person is going to invest in the property and how many peiros is going to have from the property. So since this is something that cannot can be calculated, Neitzik and Oilim, you can only take Minachurar. And the same thing is in Makabal Olalot, Ishtu Bas Ishtu, a person takes upon himself when they get married. The wife says, you know, unfortunately I'm a divorcee, or I'm a widow, and I have children, and somebody has to support these children. The husband says, okay, as part of the marriage contract, I'm going to support these children. You can only collect for that purpose from Mechurorin, from the karkois that are in the husband's estate or in his rishus, but you can't go after Lekuches. And the same thing is at Getchoiv, and the same thing is Suvazisha, if there is no Achraz. Good. Anyway, bottom line, Raboisai, is we are stuck. We have a stira. The first case in the Mishnah, which says you always have to give 200 and 100, you cannot go and change your mind, and you can't go and play Nishtikloch. This was Reb Meir. And even if it doesn't say in the shtar, and even if there is no shtar, it's Naibezin, you gotta pay 200 and 100. That's for me, not Reb Yehuda, because Reb Yehuda says you can go and give a receipt and waive half of the amount if you so desire, if the wife so desires. So that's Reb Meir. But the din of the Achrayis Nechasim, which says in our Mishnah, automatically it's implicit that there's Achrayis Nechasim, this is Reb Yehuda that holds Achrayis to a Sofer. Because according to Reb Meir, if it doesn't say Achrayis, there is no Achrayis. So there's a stira reisha and sefer. Every mar ibo yisem Reb Meir, ibo yisem Reb Yehuda. I can answer that both parts of the Mishnah is Reb Meir, both parts Reb Yehuda. Ibo yisem Reb Yehuda. Nochamon. Ibo yisem Reb Meir, ibo yisem Reb Yehuda. Ibo yisem Reb Yehuda. Hasam kosvalei hiskabalti, hachalei kosvalei hiskabalti. Reb Yehuda says, I agree 1,000% to the reisha of the Mishnah. What is in the reisha of the Mishnah? Even if you didn't write out a ksuba, automatically she gets 200, and the almana gets 100, because that's tonight Bezin. Reb Yehuda says, I agree, 100%. The only thing, says Reb Yehuda, that I would add, is that if the wife and the husband negotiated in advance to go and cut it from 200 to 100, she can be moichel. After all, anybody's allowed to be moichel, whatever. So if she waived her rights to the 200 and says, you know what, you only have to pay me 100, that's fine, there's no problem. Our Mishnah is talking about in the absence of a waiver, in the absence of a mechila. Says Reb Yehuda, I agree. Avada, you have to give 200 and 100. You can't go and give 150. It's only if there's mechila. So therefore the Mishnah can stem like Reb Yehuda. Iboisim Reb Meir, my chayv diktoni min amechurarin. Although we said in our Mishnah that the shtar, the ksuva, only said that this one lousy property, which is worth 100, that's going to be the backup for her 200 choiv. If afterwards the husband passes away, she's allowed to go and collect from other nechasim, even though it doesn't say that kol nechasai islan achroyin nechsuvaseich. Says Reb Meir, I agree with that. All I said is you can't go after the lekuchais, but you can go after the b'nei choirin. So if the husband passed away, and that property that was specified in the ksuba is only worth 100, so then she's owed another 100. So look for other properties. If there are other properties which are b'nei choirin, she can collect from those. The only thing that a mayor says is that if there are no other properties, because they were all sold, then you can't go from the shubadim. That's where the machloikas from Meir and Reb Yehuda lies, whether you say achray is toy soy for not. However, if there are other properties in the estate, of course she can go against those other properties. Because of the fact that it's tanai bezdin, she can collect from kol nechosov. Okay, we continue on. In the Mishnah, we spoke about a shvuya. What does it say about a shvuya? It says about a shvuya that even if he didn't write in the shtar, im tishtaboy, if you get captured, afra kinach, I will ransom you. Boy svinach li the insu, and I'll take you back as a wife. Even if it doesn't say that in the shtar, it's deemed to be written in the shtar, and he has to ransom her and take her back as a wife. Brother Shai, have a beautiful Shabbos and a good Chodesh. See you met Shem Monday morning. B'shoa Toifa. Enjoy. Yishokti Gemara Likosav Lo Omar Avud Yishmuel. Eish Yisrael Shenenso Nebuch and Eish Yisrael, that was Nebuch, violated by someone. Asur Labala, she's not allowed to return to her husband. This is Tumad Eish Yisrael. Not an Eish Yisrael. Eish Yisrael that was violated cannot return to her husband. Why not? Chayshinan Shem Tchilasa Ba'oynes V'soifu Barotzen. Even though initially, when the person who violated her started the violation, it was ba'inus, forced, and then avada, at that point, she was muteres labala. But by the time the bia was over, then it was baratzei. she already was maskim, she was already happy about it, and therefore, since it ended off berotzin, if a woman, an eshes ish, lives berotzin with somebody else, she's asur lebat. Of course, the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, then according to Avudah Shmuel, where do you ever have an eshes rosh nemtza that can return to her husband? Don't they always have to be choishesh? And when we say Seifa Baratzai, it's not so much that we say that now, oh, she's happy that somebody violated her and she wants to marry him. But the point is that initially when she's being violated, of course she's very upset. But by the time the Bia is getting over, perhaps she herself is getting Hanno'ah from the Bia. She's been aroused. And at this point, then her sentiments are already uncontrollable. She'd like to see this be an end, and now it's already Baratzai. So Avudah Shmuel says in each one of these cases, she's a surlabal. So Freyti Gemara from our Mishnah. Eis v'rav l'Avudah Shmuel, it says in our Mishnah, tishtaboy, afar kinach. But svinach lili into, if chas v'shom you ever taken as a shvuya, I will ransom you and I'll take you back. How can you take you back? Avudah Shmuel says that she's a surlabal. Maybe the soif of the beer was Baratzai. Even though she is Nemtza, she's Asur Labal. Avudah Shmuel Ishtik. He was quiet. He was silent. Kari Rav Aleid Avudah Shmuel. Rav now said about Shmuel the following Pasuk. Pasuk in Eoid. Sarim Otzru B'milim. The Sarim, the princes, the ministers, held back their words. The Kaf Yassim L'Piyam, and they put their palm over their mouths not to respond. In other words, Rav is saying is, Avudah Shmuel is the great Tsar, the great minister, the great prince. He could have answered, and he didn't. And he held himself back. Pray to my mighty slay the man. But what could he have said? Rav's kasha is a good kasha. After were b'shvuya kilu, they could have easily answered, Avudah Shmuel could have said, that if it's b'shvuya, the husband is allowed to take her back. By an eshes ish nemtza, he's not allowed to take her back. And the obvious question is, what's the difference between one case and the other? Rashi says very simply, here we're talking about an Eishes Yisrael Shenensa. In other words, we know she has told us, or there are Eidim, that she was Nensa. So now the only question is, was it Baratzin, or was it Bishogeg, or Ba'oinis? And that Avudah Shmuel says, I'm Choshish. Here by the Shmuel, I don't know for sure that she was Nensa. I'm speculating that maybe she was Nensa. Oh, see, now you're doing already two. It's like a Gzeira, Gzeira. It's a Chshash built on a Chshash. One Chshash is maybe she was Nensa. Chshash number two is if she was Nensa, maybe it was Berotzin, Tzayfim Berotzin. So therefore, Bishwi Akilu, and we say she can go back to her husband. According to Avudah Shmuel, every Isha Shenensa, we have to be choishish, that Shemet Chilas Ma'ayin of the Seif Baratzin. How would we ever allow an Eishes Ishenensa to return to her husband? Every market Chami Eidim, Shetzavchem Et Chilabad Seif. We're talking about that there were Eidim that saw that she was Nensa, and they heard her screaming from the first moment to the other, to the last moment. Get out of here! Out, Yerusha Aros, Shnel, Geitz, Avek! Get out of here! From beginning to end, so we know for sure it ended off Shaloi Berotzin, it was Ba'idus. Says Yigmar, Uplik the Rava. This Allah Avodah Shmuel argues in Rava, the Omer Rava called Shetchalos Ba'idus. The Soi Berotzin Afili Oimeres Hanicholoi, Shomole Niska Klo, He Soi Chrosoi Mu Teres. My time, my Yetzer Al Bisho. Rava is talking about the nature of individuals. And he's saying, even if we know for sure at the end that it was Baratzin, that she was already masculine. Not only that, Rav says to graphically show us a case. He says, it's in the middle of the bia, and somebody comes, Hatzolah comes to go and remove the perpetrator from the Maisa Oynes, and she says, leave him. If it wasn't for the fact that he started off this Maisa bia, he meaning herself, she talks about herself in the third party, say chrasai, I would have hired him because he's doing such a good job and I already like this bia, muteris. She's still allowed to go back to her husband. Why? It's clearly Sefer Baratzon. She says, I would have gone and hired him. So, my time of Yetzer al Bisha. Again, it's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is, in a million years, she never would have allowed herself to go and live with a stranger. After all, she's an Eishes Ish. But once he started, and she's already in the midst of being aroused for the Bia, it becomes uncontrollable. She really wants to finish off that Bia to get to the ecstasy of the Bia. So the fact that she says, leave him, that's only because she can no longer control her Yetzirah. But Avada Nevada, yes.
When would you ever have a case where it's not when the Yetzirah entices someone to do an Avera that it's not onus? You're vitiating the entire argument for ever giving anybody malchus or Mrs. Bezdin. I was always, my Yetzirah overcame me. I stole, I did this Avera, I did that Avera. My Yetzirah overcame me, it's onus, it's beyond my control. You're undermining the entire force of a punitive judicial system.
And the whole Torah, every iser, we have to get malchus. Or any other type of oynish. What you're saying is a very, very valid point. And therefore the point, the pshat in this Yetzirah doesn't mean that the Yetzirah got, a person knows that he has a bechira, 50-50, Yetzirah, Yetzirah, you got to be boichem atoyv, v'charte v'chayim. You can't go and say, well, my Yetzirah got the best of me. That you see in Yom Kippur when you're going clapping Al Chet and you're saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, I didn't mean it. I really love you and I love the mitzvahs, but the Yetzirah, unfortunately, you know, I'm just a boss of a duff. 100% right. Here we're talking about that the lady was violated. And in the middle of the bia, she was extremely upset that this perpetrator is violating her. And she's angry, and she would like to go and kill him, and what did she do? After all, he's an Eishes Ish. And when he came through the door, and he said, I want to have Bia, she said, get out of here, that's an Isser D'Oraisa, and Chas V'Shalom, if I agree to it, I might get Chenek, or Eishes Koyin, she might get Sreifa, etc., etc. She is a Tzadekis, there's no question about it. She's a Yetzatoy person, not the Yetzahara person. Here, however, we're ready in the middle of the Maisa Bia. In the middle of Maisa Bia, he is arousing her, and now she is becoming uncontrollably aroused that she's at the almost at the last moment of ecstasy of a bia. And she says, now I can't hold myself back anymore. You know, we're already in the middle of it. So, in such a case, says Rava, then we give her a pass. She's not considered to be a soifa baratzain. It's a ratzain haba al yedei oynes. And when we talk about the word yetzah, we don't really mean the yetzahara. We really mean that her natural physical body doesn't allow her to stop in the middle. You know, I'm already in the middle. I can't stop it anymore. It's going on and on. So in such a case, says Rava, that type of tchilose ba'oinus, say baratzin, is considered to be an oinus. Your question of Barry, well, every time he eats Yetzirah, that's already at the tchila, at the beginning, stop the Yetzirah. Get out of here. But once the Yetzirah has his tentacles around you, like in this case of the violator, the person is never violating this woman, then it's already, even the rotzain is considered to be the tail end of the oinus. Tani kvasi Rava, bring a ride to Rava from a brice and not like Avuah d'Shmuel. It says in the Pasuk, famous Pasuk that the Gemara quotes from time to time, the he loinus Pasuk, right? We're talking about the parish of Soita. V'shachav ish oisa shich vazera. A stranger lived with an ashes ish. She was not forced. The word disposa means to be forced. She was not forced. So she lived with someone else and she wasn't forced. Asura, she becomes Asura lebala. Because this was Beratze. Hanisposa, however, if she was forced Muteris, then of course she would be Mutilabala. But now the drash of Rabbah is, it says, Vihi loinisposa, and she. What is the Vihi? It could have simply said, the eight ain't ba v'loynis pasa. Was the he comes to tell you yesh l'cha cheresh avu bish loynis pasa. There's another lady that even though she was not nispasa, she was not forced mutaris. What does that mean? That comes to include leitzu kosh t'chasu b'oyin v'soif v'beratzayin. Even though the soif was beratzayin, the soif wasn't forcible or forced. The tail end was beratzayin. Nevertheless, that's what the vehi comes to exclude. In such a case, she would be muteres. Oh, so I see tchilas b'ayin v'sayif v'ratzin is muteres. Tos is doch Rava. That's what Rava said. Kol tchilas b'ayin v'sayif v'ratzin is muter a rai to Rava. Tani idach, Now there's a more famous brisa, another drasha of Hilan Espasa, to tell you about the Eishes Kai. Push date on the brisa of Hilan Espasa Asura. Han Espasa Mutaris. V'yesh Racheres Shalva Binish Espasa. Another lady that even though she was forced Asura, she's also to a Balavay Zuzu, that's Eishes Koyin, even though she's Nemsa, Asura Lebal. Om Rav Yirama Shmuel Mishim Rav Yishmael. V'yiloy Nespasa Asura, Ha Nespasa Muteres, V'yesh Lo Acheres. The Rishash takes that law and says, V'yesh Lecha Acheres, like the, to be consistent with the Gemara before. V'yesh Lecha Acheres, Yavav Yishloy Nespasa Muteres, V'yesh Zuzu, Zushi Kedushel Kedushay Ta'us. Now what means a Kedushay Ta'us? Explains Rashi that there was a condition, there was a Tanai in the condition. It was a Tanai in the Kiddushin. And the condition was not fulfilled. But nevertheless, they continued as if they were Orus Va'arus, as if they were married, even though the condition was never met. Says the Gemara, says of Yura Mishmol, Mishim Rabbi Shmuel, that is Kiddushay Ta'us. Because until the condition is met, until it's met or waived, it's still like a Tanai. So Ba'ezu Kedusha Kedusha Tosh Shafila Binam Murkabak Seifim Menes Bahol Alechisla. That even if subsequently she left, she lived with her husband, and once again this Tanai was never fulfilled and never waived. Even if a year later she has a child, and a year later she has this child Murkabak Seifah that she's taking, piggyback on her shoulders, she does not need a get from her husband because he's not a husband. The kedushin, the condition to the kedushin was not fulfilled, and our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel Mishim Rabbi Shmuel holds Kol Habo Al Das Kedushin Rishonim. He was based on that original kedushin and the original condition, and since the condition was not met, then side the Kiddushin, side the Nisuan, all of that was without the benefit of holy matrimony. It was not a binding Kiddushin or Nisuan. And says Rashi, she's still a Penuya, even though it's 2 years, 3 years later, still a Penuya. And therefore she can walk out on him, she doesn't even need a get. Now what does this have to do with Nispasa Loi Nispasa? As Rashi, what happens if this young lady, unfortunately, lived with somebody else during this period, besides living with her husband? Normally you would say, oh, she's an Eishes Ish. She lived with somebody else, she should get Chanek. If it was during the Eirusin period, she should get Skila. No. Because of the fact that it was all a Mekach Tois, Kedushay Tois, never consummation with this condition being fulfilled. Therefore, she was never married, she's a Penuya, and therefore, that's what the Bryce is telling us. That not the Bryce, that's Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Mishim Rabbi Shmuel. V'yesh lo acheres. There is another woman. She willingly lived with somebody else. She's muteris. She could subsequently actually marry the Bala that she never married. Why can she go and marry her? Marry him? Because she never erred as an Eishes Ish. Because there was never Ishus. It was a Kedushay Tos. Talk to me about Amr Yehuda. Hani Nashi de Ganvi, de Ganvu, Ganvi, Sharyan Gavrayu. Those women that are unfortunately taken to captivity by Ganovim, Ganovim that steal women, and now they ask for the ransom, and the husbands pay the ransom, Sharyan Gavrayu, they can go and return to their husbands. Amr de Rabban Rabbi Yehuda, Ay Vekomantian Lahu Nahama. We find sometimes that these women supply bread to their captors. In other words, they cook and bake for them during the period that they're in captivity. So Gemara, they didn't do that willingly, machmas yira. They're afraid that if they're not going to help out in household chores and in cooking and baking until the husbands ransom them, then these Ganovim might kill them. So therefore, they're trying to go and play with them, but it's really all ba'oinis, ba'oinis, ba'oinis. Ay, v'kam shalchem hugiri. Sometimes when they are, these Ganovim are running and they are fighting the police or fighting the Nignovim, whoever is shooting arrows or shooting at them, they supply the arrows from the quiver to the Ganovim. So we see that they're helping out. It sounds like that they're living with them Beratzai. Again, they're afraid if they're not going to help out, they're going to be the next carbon. However, says Gemara, Vade Shafkinu, if the captors say, ladies, you are now released to go home, the Azam and Afshayu, and they decide they want to stay with their captors. Sounds like a lady, there was a lady, Patty Hearst, right? It was 20 or 30 years ago, as a masa. But Zaloch Asiron, then they're Osir. Because if they have now decided, you know, these Ganovim provide a better life than my husband, and I want to stay with them, then of course they will be Osir, because from now on, it's all be Isur, it's be Rotzain, and no longer by this. Okay, final shikul. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa. Shivuyin Malchus Harihen Kishvuyin. If the malchus, that is that the king or the government, took a lady away as a shvuya, harayim kishvuyim, they have a din of kishvuyim. And what's the din of a shvuya? That when she's released, she goes home to her husband. However, ginuvi listus, if it's a hold-up guys, highway robbers or something like that, that went and stole her, ain't in kishvuyim, I'm afraid that they may have lived with their captors, Berotzoin, and therefore they can no longer go back to their husbands. Frank Gemara Batani Ibcha, I have another price that says just the opposite. That Shvuyim Malchis Einam Kishvuyim, Kinuve Listis are Kishvuyim. Make up your mind. Says Gemara, it's very simple. Malchis a Malchis Loikasha. Hova Malchis Achashverish, Hova Malchis Ben Netzer. If you're talking about Malchis Achashverish, if the woman is summoned by the king to go and live with the king, she knows fully well the king is not interested in taking me as a wife. He's interested in having a good time with me. And therefore, it's ba'oinis. She doesn't want to go to the king's. And that's why the first price says, in kishvuyim. Then she's allowed to go home because she's not living with him. Habamalchus ben Netzer. Who was ben Netzer? Says Rashi, ben Netzer was a famous hold-up guy. He was the top cowboy in his day and age, or the top villain. Not a good cowboy, a bad cowboy. He was the top villain in his day and age. But because he was a top, he was considered to be like the king of all the listim, of all the gangsters, of all the mafia. He was the king. Ah, in such a case, apparently they were nicer to their wives. And when they would go and take a woman, very often he meant, I'll take her as my wife because I need a wife. I'm always on the lam, I'm always running. I could use a wife. Therefore, there I'm afraid that Chas V'Shalom, she might agree to live with him Beratzayin, and therefore it's Einan Kishvuyim. We don't say automatically, go home. Listus like Kasha. Haba Ben Netzer, Haba Listim. After all, the Ben Netzer, he's a Listim guy. And we say about Ben Netzer, like we said a moment ago, it could very well be that the woman that's taking Ben Netzer, she falls for his charm, and she's now living with him Beratzayin. She cannot go back. Oh, listen, the Alma, but other listim, a bunch of crooks, a bunch of gangsters, those are the dregs of society. Those are the worst. I don't want to live with those guys, and therefore it's ba'oinis, and she can go back to her husband. So the Gemara asks an obvious question. We said that the stir between Malchus and Malchus, Malchus Achashverosh, and Malchus Ben Netzer. And then we say, stir Alistis Alistis, this is Ben Netzer, this is the Alma. Break tomorrow, Ben Netzer, Hosam Karilei Melech. Make up your mind, is Ben Netzer a listim or is he a melech? Says Gemara, everything is relative. That's the famous Einstein's theory of relativity. In Gabi Achashverosh listim ho. When you're comparing Ben Netzer, who is the king of all the thieves and all the gangsters, compare him to a regular bona fide king of a major 127 malchus, then he's a listim, he's a little guy. He's just a listim. Got me listening to the Alma, but comparing him to the regular crooks who are the local guys. He was an international thief with international renown. They're looking for him, the FBI and the CIA and the Mossad and the Interpol and everybody else. Oh, compared to them, he's a melech, he is a king. And with this, we'll finish for today, Rabbi Yisai. I want to wish you all a good Shabbos and a good Chodesh. And Emet Hashem will start, please God, 9:25 on Sunday morning. Approximately. Have a good day, a good Shabbos, a good Chodesh, all the best.